We're going to be in Acts chapter 16. We're going to be looking at the first 12 verses this morning. And we're looking at the subject of Paul's second missionary journey. We've seen the general outline of Acts and that it's derived from Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in the first seven chapters, in Judea and Samaria in chapters 8 and 9, and to the uttermost part of the earth, beginning toward the end of chapter 9 and going to the end of Acts, which begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church at Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death. Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas is recorded in 13:1 through 14:28, and is followed by the council at Jerusalem in chapter 15. Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas, occurs in Acts 15:36 through 18:22. Paul and Silas traveled through Syria and Cilicia, and then went on to Derbe and Lystra, where they were joined by Timothy. Now, you have to understand, Syria is the Roman territory known as Syria, not just the Old Testament country called Syria. And it included Palestine. So they went north out of Antioch, which was located in Syria. And they got up to the northern border of the Mediterranean, and they turned left. They went west through Cilicia. Eventually, they came to Derbe and Lystra, where they were joined by Timothy. They went through Phrygia and Galatia, but were forbidden to preach the gospel in Asia Minor or even to enter Bithynia. They passed through Mysia to Troas, where Paul saw the Macedonian vision. They then headed through Samothracia and Neapolis to Philippi. As they went, they were undoubtedly surprised by some things, but God directed their every step. When you and I are living for the Lord, He will likewise direct our every step. In spite of His direction, some things will occur that will surprise us. And we will not always at that time understand why certain things happen or have happened. Clarity may eventually come, but in the meantime, we trust His direction and control of everything. I've already quoted for you Romans 8:28, but it's just very applicable in this section as well. We know that all things, not just some things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that, of course, is referring to believers. We also know the truth of Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, I haven't said it, written it for you, but you know the truth also of, as for God, His way is perfect. We don't always understand, and we don't have to understand. We trust Him to direct us. Now be careful as we go through this passage to take note of God's guidance. How does God lead us? Well, God led Paul and Silas to a helper. It was Timothy. This was not planned, but what a blessing he turned out to be to Paul and Silas. God knew that they needed him. As you know, I came here to Calvary Baptist to pastor this church, and God led me to a wife that, unknown to me, I really needed. What a blessing she has been to me, just like Timothy was a blessing to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas encountered closed doors, which indicated what God's will was not. They also encountered open doors, which indicated what God's will was. Now, they had already seen this, in that it was not God's will for Paul and Barnabas to make a second missionary trip together. And it was also not God's will for Mark to accompany Paul on a second missionary trip. It was not God's will for Silas to return to Jerusalem, but it was God's will for Silas to accompany Paul on this missionary trip. You will encounter open doors that God wants you to go through, and you will also encounter closed doors, which are an indication of what God's will is not. Don't try to go through those closed doors. Let God open them. He's capable if he wants to. And what you really want is his will and his direction for your life. So closed doors are not a problem. They're actually a blessing. You know what God doesn't want you to do. God's will is definite. Whether you realize it or not, you and I have many things in common. Think about it. It was God's will for me, just as it was God's will for you, to be born to certain parents on a certain date in a certain city in a certain state or country. We were all born somewhere to somebody. We weren't even consulted about it, as you know. God didn't bother to ask me if I wanted those people for my parents. Had I been asked, I might have said no. But as it turned out, they were the best set of parents I could have had. I needed a father who was strong enough in his own person to keep me in check. You probably, some of you at least, had the same experience. You needed a strong father. My parents happened to be saved, as were their parents, like you. I was not an accident in God's sight, regardless of what my parents may or may not have planned. Like some of you, but unlike others of you, it was God's will for me to be born as a baby boy. Like some of you, but unlike others of you, it was God's will for me to be brought up in a Bible-believing local church. Like you, it was God's will that certain people entered my life and influenced me, some positively, but some negatively, in order to test me. It was God's will for me to attend a certain college and to major in a certain subject. It happens to have been Greek. I'm guessing nobody else here was led by the Lord to attend that college and study Greek. Like you, I do not know what I will experience throughout the rest of my life. But like you, God has me right where he wants me. And he has you right where he wants you. Now, we could go on and on with statements like these, but you understand, God has led us in many ways, some of which we had no control over. It is God's will that I have served him for more than 61 years as a pastor, as a Bible college teacher, and as a writer. At this time, In spite of my age, or perhaps because of my maturity and experience, it is God's will that I'm serving Him as an interim pastor in the Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Somehow it was God's will that you were also born to certain parents on a certain date in a certain town or country, that you are a certain color, that you are a certain gender, that you are or have been a whole host of other things, and that here and now, at this time in history, we are all here in the will of God in the Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's most amazing. God could take us from all over the country and some from outside of the country and put us here in this local church at this time. May each of us as individuals stay in the will of God for the rest of our lives, whatever this involves and wherever it takes us. Paul and Silas came to Derbe and Lystra, where they met a young Jewish man named Timothy, who had a good reputation with the saved people in that area. Paul wished to have Timothy join them on their missionary trip because of the Jewish people in that area. He then circumcised Timothy, who had previously been uncircumcised. We read the text of verses 1 through 3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, means a Gentile, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now that's Timothy that was well reported of. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Well, as Paul and Silas traveled west through present-day Turkey, they eventually came to Derbe and Lystra, which Paul had visited on his first missionary trip, where they met Timothy. We read in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Then continues the thought of the narrative in the sense of and or now. Came he to Derbe and Lystra, where he is Paul, as he came to, meaning he reached or he arrived at Derbe and Lystra. Now you will remember, Lystra was where he had been stoned and left for dead in chapter 14. And behold, serves to enliven the narrative as Timothy is about to be introduced. A certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That he was a disciple suggests that he had previously trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Paul refers to him in 1 Timothy 1:2 as my own son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy 1:2, he refers to him as my dearly beloved son. These references both suggest that Timothy was saved under Paul's ministry when Paul was in the area of Lystra and Derbe on his first missionary journey. This certain disciple was there, meaning was in that place. Amazingly, within the will of God, Timothy just happened to be there at that time. Timothy was right where God wanted him to be, right when God wanted him to be there, and right when Paul arrived at the same place. How timely. And you can point to things in your life that are just as timely. God just happened to have you and your wife at a certain place at a certain time before you were married, and there you met. And God knitted your hearts together eventually. It might have taken a while, but eventually, all right? Named Timotheus means with the name Timothy. Timotheus. We call him Timothy. Timothy is further described as the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. Timothy's mother was a Jewish believer. Timothy had been brought up with a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. We read that in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Those would be the Old Testament, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are able to show you how to be saved. Doesn't mean they'll save you. You've got to believe what they say. 2 Timothy 1:5 indicates that Timothy's grandmother and mother were saved before he was. I had that privilege. Maybe you did as well. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remember the unfeigned, meaning the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, as the pastor of this church, something I desire in each one of you is an unfeigned, meaning a genuine faith or belief that Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again from the dead. I also desire that you seek to live your lives according to what the Bible says. Amazingly, nearly all of you just happened to be here when I came, and within the will of God, you were just what I needed. Though you didn't know that. I trust that within the will of God, I have likewise been just what you needed. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the statement that he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess. His father was a Greek, literally of a Greek father, which is connected with son. It means that he was a son of a Greek father. It was no accident that Paul met Timothy at this time. It was God's will for Paul and also for Timothy, who would be a lifelong co-worker with Paul. It was no accident that he had been saved on Paul's first missionary trip and that he was still there when Paul returned to the area of Lystra and Derbe. It is also no accident that God just happened to send me to this church where you just happened to be at the exact time of my arrival. What an amazing coincidence. But within the will of God, not actually only a coincidence at all. According to verse 2, Timothy had a good reputation with the saved people, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Which was well reported of is who is well spoken of or who is approved. By the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium is by the brothers, meaning by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, and indicates that those people who were speaking well of or approving of Timothy. Paul had not realized he was going to meet Timothy there. Paul had no idea. And all of a sudden, here's a young man that could help us. Paul wished to have Timothy accompany him on the missionary trip, so he circumcised him. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Him is this one, referring to Timothy, would Paul have, as Paul wished to have, Paul wanted or Paul desired. It doesn't take rocket science to realize that God put this desire in Paul's heart. To go forth is to go out with him, suggests with Paul himself. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him on the rest of this missionary trip. And took is used in conjunction with circumcised, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to circumcised. The action of took occurred before the action of circumcised. And circumcised him indicates that Paul cut off Timothy's foreskin in accordance with God's instructions for Jewish men. This was done because of the Jews which were in those quarters, which means because of or on account of the Jews who were in those places or in those areas. The reason Paul circumcised Timothy is for they knew all that his father was a Greek. It is for all knew his father, that he was a Greek. The thought is that the Jewish people knew that Timothy's father was a Greek, and if Timothy were not circumcised as a Jew, any testimony he would not have been accepted by or acceptable to them. All right, I didn't read that very well. If Timothy were not circumcised as a Jew, whatever testimony he had would not have been accepted by or acceptable to them, meaning to the Jewish people. Now in Galatians 2, 3 through 5, Titus is mentioned. Does Paul's circumcising Timothy contradict what he wrote in Galatians 2, 3 through 5 regarding Titus? It says there, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek or a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or secretly to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The answer to the question is, did Paul's circumcising Timothy contradict what he wrote in Galatians? No, there is no contradiction. Titus was a Gentile. He was not a Jew and did not have to become a Jew. He had been saved by grace through faith. Circumcision was not a requirement for salvation, so Paul would not consent to the Judaizers' insistence that Gentiles must be circumcised. To have done so would have allowed the gospel to be changed into a false gospel, which would not save anyone. Timothy was a Jew who had been saved by grace through faith. As a Jew, however, he had never been circumcised. Paul's procedure in every town he visited was to go to the Jews and proselytes in the synagogues and present the gospel before he presented it to the Gentiles. If the Jews learned that Timothy was an uncircumcised Jew, it would have caused problems for their ministry among the Jews. So Paul circumcised him so that their ministry would not be hindered. As Paul, Silas, and Timothy went from city to city, they delivered the decrees which the apostles and elders of the church at Jerusalem had sent in their letter. As they continued, the existing churches were strengthened in the faith, and the number of believers was increasing on a daily basis. Surprisingly, the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the gospel in Asia Minor. It says there in verses 4 through 6, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. As Paul, Silas, and Timothy went from city to city, they delivered the decrees which the apostles and elders of the church at Jerusalem had sent in their letter back in chapter 15, that they abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Verse 4 says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." As they went through the cities is while or when they were passing through the cities. The tense of went through indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. They delivered them the decrees for to keep. It means they were handing down, they were passing on, they were transmitting, they were relating, or they were teaching the ordinances, meaning the decisions or commands for them to observe or to follow, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, is the decrees which have been decided or determined by the apostles and the elders, meaning the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So, when Galatians was written to Gentile believers to instruct them that circumcision was not necessary for salvation, why didn't Paul cite the decrees or ordinances that had been determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem at the Jerusalem Council in chapter 15? Wouldn't that have solved the problem? And the answer is no. The best answer to this is that Galatians had already been written before the Jerusalem Council took place, and that these decrees had not yet been written. So don't put Galatians and the experiences there into the same context as Acts 15. It occurred before Acts 15. Well, the missionary trip was progressing well in that the existing churches were strengthened in the faith, and the number of believers was increasing on a daily basis. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And so introduces an inference from Paul, Silas, and Timothy's passing through the cities and delivering the decisions from the Jerusalem Council. And so means therefore, accordingly, consequently, so or then. Were the churches established in the faith as the churches or the congregations were being strengthened in the faith? Now that's exactly what we do in every service in this church. We seek to strengthen the believers as well as proclaim the gospel so that any who are unsaved might get saved. And they increased in number daily indicates that more and more people were being saved and added to these churches day by day or day after day. The tense of established and of increased indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. According to verse 6, Paul and his company experienced something new. The Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the gospel in Asia Minor. Must have been puzzling. This was a closed door to them. It means that it was not God's will for them to preach the gospel in Asia Minor, at least at this time. It is not what they had expected. Did not these people in Asia Minor need to hear and to believe the gospel? Well, yes, they did. However, regardless of their need, it was God's will for Paul, Silas, and Timothy to go somewhere else. I sat through a lot of chapels at Ambassador when I was on staff there, and I often heard that young men were told they needed to go to the big cities and establish churches there. Well, some did. The big city that God sent me to had 1,700 people when I got there. But that's where God sent me. I think we need to understand God has an individual plan for each one of us. And most of you have not been called to be pastors or church planters. Okay? I understand that. You're not expected to be. God didn't have that in your will. Now, Ed back here, he's been a church planter. I've been a church planter. I've been a pastor. But the point is this. God sends us where he wants us to go, not where some human being thinks everybody should go. I'm not a cookie cutter. And I don't want any of you to be a cookie cutter either. Be yourself before God. Live for him in his will for your life. Your will, his will for your life differs from his will for my life. Now, my wife's life is entangled with mine. So from here on, until the Lord takes one of us or both of us home, his will is for us to be doing what we're doing, whatever that turns out to be. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. This phrase is to be connected with a said in verse 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and the region of Galatia is used in conjunction with a said in verse 7. It has been translated as indicating time. That's why it's translated when. And its action occurred before the action of a said, and it's understood in the sense of after they had gone through Phrygia and the Galatian region. Phrygia is located, or was located, in present-day central Turkey, west of Galatia, north of Pisidia. Galatia contains cities such as Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia is used in conjunction with a said in verse 7. It has also been translated as indicating time. Again, its action likewise occurred before the action of a said. Were forbidden is were hindered or were prevented from. Of the Holy Ghost is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia, meaning to speak the word in Asia, that is in Asia Minor, not China or India, places like that, in the continent known as Asia. Asia Minor was located in what is today called Central Turkey. Well, as we go on to verse 7, after coming to Mysia, the missionaries attempted to enter Bithynia. They thought maybe they should go there and preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them to do it. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, there's that word we've been talking about, to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. After they were come to Mysia, used in conjunction with essayed, it's been translated as indicating time, which occurred before the action of essayed. Now, Mysia is a district in the northwest end of Asia Minor, bordering the Aegean Sea on the west. That's the sea between Turkey and Greece. And Bithynia on the east. Bithynia was a territory located on the Black Sea, north of Asia Minor and Galatia. They essayed to go into Bithynia as they were trying or they were attempting to go to Bithynia. The tense of essayed indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. How long they tried or how many times they attempted to go to Bithynia is not indicated, but the Spirit suffered them not means, but the Holy Spirit did not permit, meaning the Holy Spirit did not allow or the Holy Spirit did not let them. Now, How the Holy Spirit made this clear to Paul and Silas and Timothy is not revealed. Although this did not indicate what God's will was, it did indicate what God's will was not. Closed doors indicate what God's will is not and are an indication of the Lord's leading. They are not a problem. It was clear that it was not God's will for Paul, Silas, and Timothy to go to Bithynia at this time. Although they may have been perplexed as to where they should be going, they clearly knew that it was not God's will for them to go to Bithynia. Once again, it was not what they expected. But what they expected does not really matter. It is God's will and direction that they needed and would eventually get. It must be noted that they were right where God wanted them to be and were doing exactly what God wanted them to be doing in spite of their being perplexed. Before I came to Hendersonville, I was a widower and had been for 3 months, seeking God's will for the rest of my life, but not knowing what it was. There was no open door at that time for me. Everything was closed. It reminds me of one of our deacons named Dennis. I won't tell you his last name, but you know it anyway. He was a student at Ambassador a number of years ago. And you know how handsome, big, strong man that he is, how many of the girls maybe thought he would make a good husband for him. I'm making this up, by the way. But I'm trying to make it so it sounds impressive for dear Dennis. Okay. But there was only one girl that was God's will for him to marry. And sure enough, we know her name too, don't we? And she went there before this, and she didn't know. She probably at that age was looking for a husband, and she ended up getting her MRS degree, as you know. And it was Dennis. Can you believe it? She's from Florida. He's from here. They met somewhere else, and they got married. Within the will of God. Isn't it interesting? But for all the other sweet young ladies that would have been interested in Dennis, it was not God's will for them to get Dennis. It was only God's will for Sylvia to get Dennis. And God's will for Dennis was only to get Sylvia, not any of the rest of them. All the rest of them were closed doors. Just the way it works. We go on into verses 8 through 12 and we see that Paul passed by Mysia to Troas and then through Samothracia or Samothrace and Neapolis to Philippi. I'm sure Paul was perplexed for quite a while. What is God's will? Where is he leading us? And yet he was right where he was supposed to be all the time. After Paul and those with him arrived in Troas, he had a vision of a Macedonian man urging him to come to Macedonia and help them. Having concluded that this vision was from the Lord, they set sail from Troas to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis, before going on to Philippi. We read about it in verses 8 through 12. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. According to verse 8, Paul and his company arrived in Troas, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And they, passing by Mysia, is used in conjunction with came down, indicating time. Its tense indicates that the action of passing by occurred before the action of came down. It's understood in the sense of, and after they went through Mysia. They were already in Mysia and had to continue going through Mysia until they came to Troas. They came down to Troas as they descended to Troas. They came down because Troas is at a lower elevation than where they had been traveling. Troas is a town at sea level in western Mysia. They found themselves in Troas within the will of God. Now, Troas was at the extreme western end of present-day Turkey. They were up against the Aegean Sea. Now, where within the will of God were they to go? I was in Valdes taking care of my wife. Then the Lord took her to heaven. Can you believe she left me for heaven? Yeah, you can believe that. That's exactly what happened. And I'm happy for her. Now, what was I, an 80-year-old widower, to do? I wanted to continue serving the Lord, but where or in what capacity? In Troas, according to verse 9, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian man urging him to come to Macedonia and help him. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night, continues the thought of verse 8. A vision indicates that it was something which could actually be seen. It was not a figment of his imagination or a mental image. He physically saw this vision. Appeared means became visible. To Paul indicates that Paul is the individual who saw this vision. This vision appeared at just the right time in God's plan. You have to understand God's timing is part of his direction. To Paul, this came in the night, during the night. It's not clear which night this was, whether it was the first night spent in Troas or a subsequent one sometime later. Maybe it's 2 or 3 months later. We don't know. At some time or other in our lives, we've all experienced being perplexed regarding what we should do next. And then God cleared it up for Paul, just as he has done for us. We must always remember that God's timing is always perfect and is part of his will for us. God is never late and is never early. He's right on time. Now, we might have some problems with occasionally being late or being early. There stood a man of Macedonia, is a certain Macedonian man was standing. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. This is in the vision. Inasmuch as Luke appears to have joined the group in verse 10, it has been suggested that this Macedonian man Paul saw in his vision may have been Luke himself. And let me say it also may not have been Luke himself. It's just a suggestion some people have made. And prayed him, where him is Paul, is used in conjunction with was. Its tense indicates ongoing action in past time. It means and was inviting him and was appealing to him. was urging him, was encouraging him, or was requesting him, or was imploring him. Saying means and saying, and it's likewise used in conjunction with was. Its tense also indicates ongoing action in past time. What this Macedonian man was saying is, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over is used in conjunction with help, indicating time or a command in addition to help. Its action occurred before the action of help. It's been translated as a command in addition to help, or as a command. Its tense indicates an action which needed to be undertaken at once and without delay. But if showing time, it's understood in the sense of having or after you come over. Paul was in Troas, in the western end of present-day Turkey, and Macedonia was across the Aegean Sea in northern Greece. Help us, where us refers to the Macedonian, suggests come to our aid. Its tense likewise indicates an action which must be undertaken at once and without delay. According to verse 10, upon seeing the vision, Paul and those with him concluded that this Macedonian vision was from the Lord, and they made every effort to get there. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And transitions to the next thought in the sense of then or now. After he had seen the vision, where he is Paul is after or when he saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, where we, note that it's we now, includes not only Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but also includes Luke. It is at once we sought to go out of Troas unto Macedonia. Somewhere Luke joined the group. But the details of Luke's meeting and joining up with Paul are not revealed. Now, as you go through Acts, starting here, you have certain sections which are referred to as the we sections, W-E sections. And when the word we is used as the pronoun instead of something else, it indicates Luke's presence with the group, because Luke is the writer of Acts. They devoted serious effort to achieve their goal of leaving Troas and getting to Macedonia or northern Greece. Assuredly gathering is used in conjunction with endeavored, indicating cause. And it's understood in the sense of because we concluded. Its action occurred before the action of endeavored. Well, what Paul, Luke, and others had concluded is that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord, of course, is Christ, had called us, where us refers to the same persons represented by we, meaning Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, is had summoned us. It represented an official call by the Lord for them to preach the gospel unto them. For preach the gospel is to proclaim the gospel unto them. Where them refers to the Macedonians is to them. The Macedonian call opened the gospel to Europe. This call indicates why it was not God's will for Paul and those with him to preach the gospel in Asia or even to enter Bithynia. Similarly, the Calvary Baptist Church, in accordance with God's leading, appointed me as their interim pastor, clearly indicating God's will for my life and ministry at this time. It also eventually resulted in God's giving me a godly widow as my dear wife. God has met both of our needs, which previously neither of us even knew that we had. How amazing our God is. Look what he has also done in your lives and what he's doing in our church. According to verse 11, they set sail from Troas to Samothracia, and the next day they sailed to Neapolis. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Therefore, introduces an inference drawn from Paul and his group's conclusion that the Lord had called them to proclaim the gospel to the Macedonians. Loosing from Troas is used in conjunction with came with a straight course, indicating time or effect in addition to came with a straight course. Loosing is used as a nautical, technical term in the sense of put out to sea. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came with a straight course. If showing time, it is understood in the sense of after we put out to sea, or we could say after we set sail. If showing effect in addition to came with a straight course, it's understood in the sense of we put out to sea, or we set sail. From Troas indicates that they were sailing away from Troas, which was on the western end. It was a lakefront or a seafront town on the Aegean Sea. And we came with a straight course to Samothracia, where we indicates the presence of Luke in the company of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as we ran or sailed a straight course to Samothracia. Now, Samothracia is an island in the northern end of the Aegean Sea, the sea which is between Turkey and Greece. And the next day at Neapolis indicates that after an overnight stay in Samothracia, Paul and his group ran or sailed a straight course on a ship from Samothracia to Neapolis. As indicated by the italics, day has been supplied by the translators. Now, Neapolis was the seaport for Philippi and was located about 10 miles from Philippi. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. From thence to Philippi is from there, meaning from Neapolis to Philippi. To get to Philippi from Neapolis, Paul and those with him would have traveled on the Egnatian Way, which was an ancient Roman road which connected Rome with Constantinople. Philippi is described by, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia, that is, which is the most important or the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, as indicated by the italics, and has been supplied by the translators. A colony means that Philippi was a city outside of Italy whose inhabitants enjoyed special political privileges. And continues the thought. It's understood in the sense of now. We, refers to Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, we were abiding, we were staying. Ongoing, continuing action in past time in that city means in Philippi, certain days, refers to an extent of time during which Paul and those with him remained in Philippi, but the length of their stay is not stated. We've seen that God guided Paul and those with him by open doors as well as by closed doors. God's will is specific. We have the scriptures which guide us completely as far as our character is concerned. And we have the Holy Spirit directing our Christian service for Him. The Holy Spirit will guide us through our desires as well as by open and closed doors, just as He guided Paul and Silas. Let's be pursuing after Him with all our hearts and seeking His direction for our lives. I can help you with this by teaching God's word to you. You can help yourselves by taking advantages of all four services our church offers weekly. You may not realize it, but you actually limit your own spiritual growth by not being present in all of our services each week and getting fed with the word of God. Just as consistently skipping meals will hinder you physically, skipping services where the Word of God is taught will hinder you spiritually, in that it will limit the growth you could be having. Let's be careful to be sure we're saved and living for the Lord in accordance with the teaching in God's Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given us of being here in this church this morning, in this service. Help us, our Father, to understand that gospel message if we don't, and help us to be pursuing after you with all our hearts, in accordance with the teaching in the Bible. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.